Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. As you know me, I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and I broadcast in the Noble Gold Studios. And you can see my broadcast partner for the Doug and Dave Intel Report, Doug Thornton from the American Vindicta Show, which is getting a lot of notoriety here. I've had some people actually mention it to me in emails when I was in Hawaii and able to access them, unshaven and and jet lagged. But hey, evil doesn't take a day off, and I don't feel I can either, especially at these critical times. Doug and I are going to talk about the assassination and related events. And this is—I know this is an anticipated interview. I've talked about this now for a couple of days that Doug and I were going to do this and release on Thursday. I'm going to probably put it out on social media even earlier this time because of the importance. Doug and I, we try to stay as factual as we can. The disinfo that's going on right now is off the charts. You can't believe hardly anything you're hearing. We're going to stick closely to the facts. And I'm going to say this about Doug right now. He has done the kind of work the Secret Service should have done in protecting Trump. He's lived this. So his word here supersedes any of the rumors that you're hearing. And that's why I wanted him on. Before we go there, though, I need to tell you, they're going to collapse the banks if they don't feel they can win the election. They're going to collapse the economy. They're going to take the grid down. I think they're going to release a pandemic. People say, which one are they going to do? They're going to do all of them. They need to totally destabilize America. If they can't get Trump out of the way, or they don't feel they can win with a Trump replacement, then they're going to take it down. This is why I'm telling you, noble gold is the only way to go right now. It was God's intervention that put me in the noble gold coffers. My good friend Ian brought noble gold to me 7.5 years ago. Said, "Dave, you want to advertise for him?" I looked at him. I said, "They're a good company," and then I said, "I got to be part of what they do. They can save your nest egg. They can save your retirement." And I really want you to look at them right now before you lose everything. If you've got a nest egg to protect, you can't screw around with this. You've got to act now. You don't have a lot of time. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And I'll rush you out a free information packet. And I think it's really important that you act on this now. The number for Noble Gold will be on there. And all you got to do is fill out two lines. And this will be automatically generated to your email. And you can look at it and go, I need to be doing this. I see why Dave Hodges is doing this. Doug, you still have that shooting event, shooting training event, and self-defense event going on at the end of July, correct?
Yep. If you go to vindictivesolutions.com, you can see the training that we're putting on. Our Shoot, Move, Communicate course is designed to take anyone who, depending on your training level, it really doesn't matter, no training or highly trained. And we put you through scenarios where you actually have to deal with people. You're using close quarters battle tactics. You're learning how to manipulate a weapon in and out of doorways, hallways, around corners. So it's a really thinking outside the box kind of course. So we mix a whole bunch of different things into it. It's a 3-day course. It starts Friday to Sunday. It's $600 course, and we go about 12 hours almost every day, but the last day is a half day. We do nighttime training, nighttime scenarios using flashlights. We have people wearing full tactical gear, guys who have, just wearing nothing. The way the course is designed, you literally just come and use our stuff.
Sure.
You don't have to bring anything. So
I've
we
heard that.
streamline it for you. So if you're interested, go to vindictasolutions.com. I'll make sure the link is in the description, and check us out.
Yeah, the late Bob Griswold, friend of both of ours, he raved about what you do. He and this guy, we could say this openly now, Bob was ex-CIA and been in a position to really judge. And he said that you guys just are awesome in what you do. And I think it's tremendous what you guys are accomplishing. I just wish I could find the time to get away. Someday, God willing, and we have enough time, I will get away because I know I'd benefit from it. Anyway, Doug, I'm going to say this as a matter of introduction. I'll let you take it where you will. But this is where I feel honored to have you as a partner. And I was bragging about you yesterday, and I was doing some pre-records for Rumble, and I just said, I don't know anyone who knows more about so many different things involving government security, and so forth, and now, protection of high-profile sources as you do. But here's my observation: I have spent 3 days drawing comparisons between the JFK playbook and what's going on now. Okay. A shooter that couldn't have possibly done the crime in either case. Oswald failed his marksmanship test twice in boot camp. The third time, they think they staged it just to get him through because they marked him to be an intelligence agent that would one day defect to Russia. And then you've got this kid. I mean, no, this is a professional job. This is JFK playbook, and I'm only giving it as one example. There's many parallels, but I think what you have said before is right on the money. When you were with DHS and you were coming on my show as Wrecker, you stunned me when you said the thinking of DHS is that if there's a primetime assassination, it'll more likely be a mass casualty event, and the intended target will just be wrong place, wrong time, and that'll be their cover. Are you still, do you think that that's what's coming next? Is that it'll be a mass casualty event?
There's a lot of people calling for it. Alex Jones and a few others said that they feel there could be an event where it's a recreation of the Oklahoma City bombing. It'll be a right-wing nut job, and they'll attack the left. And then from there, you know what they do. They use that propaganda and they spin it. Right now in America, this is just my judgment, my opinion. All right, means very little, but we need to be watching everything and everyone, because there's an intended plan with an intended series of events and consequences and goals, and we're seeing that right now. All right, the shooter doesn't make sense. Secret Service failing their perimeter security doesn't make sense. The shooter was on top of the law enforcement staging building. And no, I mean, that doesn't make sense. That does not help with fueling the conspiracy theories. Nobody secured the water tower. That was probably the highest elevation in the area, the best place to be. Trump wasn't given the proper amount of Secret Service agents that he was supposed to for his detail.
Yes.
And now they're saying that the Secret Service director, who is, she's the one who, when 9/11 happened, who evacuated Dick Cheney,
They're close
right?
with the, she's close with the Cheney family.
She's close with the deep state. She's close with the deep state.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that don't make sense, and at the same time, a lot of things that do make sense. And look, I want to just keep my political opinions about everybody to myself. I'll just say it like this: I am neither for the right, and I am neither for the left. I'm for the Constitution, and my vote goes to Jesus. After that, I take care of me and mine. But looking at this non-objectively now, as unbiased as possible, I would say you do have a serious breakdown in the authorities and operations that Secret Service should have had when it comes to protecting Donald Trump. The amount of people that were out there that were protecting Trump came from the local field office. So people were complaining, oh, you got these, small women out there from the Secret Service. They were fill-ins for the field office, from the field office agent for that protective detail. So that wasn't the normal people that should be protecting him. And Trump's what, almost 6'4"? So you got to have someone at least 5'11" or taller to protect all the vitals, because that you have to cover them.
What about the
All right, you have
headshot?
to cover.
That's the thing I noticed. The one woman, and I'm not denigrating her, she was put in that position. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not calling her out, but I mean, she was a full shoulder shorter. A headshot as they were getting him off the stage was very possible.
Everything was possible. I mean, I think it wasn't after just a few seconds that the firing started that the counter snipers identified where the guy was at. And the whole thing about the sloped roof,
Oh,
right?
my God.
Nobody wanted to be on that roof particularly because the roof was sloped, and we didn't want to hurt anybody. But the roof that the counter snipers on was sloped like freaking this.
Yeah.
And the roof that the shooter was on was like this. So, I mean, it doesn't, your excuses don't make sense. If I was on a reviewing board panel, I would just say like this: your excuses don't make sense. Your poor judgment doesn't make any sense. Why you're still the director doesn't make sense. Why you didn't fund the protective detail it should have been doesn't make sense. Why there's not the adequate amount of people protecting the president, who's running for re-election, doesn't make sense. He still running for president doesn't have any secret service. None of this makes sense. It almost would seem like you wanted something to happen and you assisted by your inactions and discrepancies at letting Trump get hit. Now, people are saying Trump staged this. People are saying that he had ketchup packet in his ear. Hey, look, I'm gonna be frank with you. Let me be frank with you. It's not like the government hasn't done it before. And because most Americans now are very well familiar with the freaking shenanigans that this government has put on, the amount of times they fake stuff to get us into stuff, the amount of time we've attempted to kill our own people, the CIA openly now admits they killed JFK. So we got to think about it like this, that the government is willing to do whatever it needs to do to keep itself in power, the elite in power. They don't care. And that the elite do not care if it's a Republican or if it's a Democrat, because they're all bought off. It's two bird or it's two wings on to attach to the same dirty bird. All right. There is no party politics anymore. It's a uniparty. The problem with Trump is Trump was making a move amongst the people that they were getting to the point where I would say that the elites would think that the serfs are no longer controllable. They didn't buy COVID. They're starting to really complain about the taxes. They don't want wars now. We can't get people recruited into the military. Look at, we can't have another January 6th. What next time? What if they pull a Kenya on us? So I think the elite are actually scared. And I'll give it to you like this, and I want your opinion on it. My personal opinion, I think we're seeing a kingdom versus a kingdom. I think you're seeing the Republican Democratic uniparty versus a independent movement that's within the conservative Republican party, and one is afraid of the other. One's afraid of relinquishing power, which was the uniparty, and losing that power. And the other, I think is it's a captured propaganda. I think the people that are being surrounded by Trump right now are, it's just like 2016 all over again. He's surrounding the creatures from the deep waters of the freaking swamp again. And the illusion is that you only have two choices, Biden or Trump or you know, RFK, but he's not even a choice now. But the illusion is you only have two choices and you only ever had two options. And I don't like that. The American people, I think, need more options than what they have. Donald Trump is not the best thing that we've produced. But regardless of the fact, when you break down just the principles of security, he's the former president. He's now running for president again. He should have had X, Y, and Z added to his detail and the funding for his detail, and he didn't. That's a government breakdown. Someone should be getting fried by Congress. I mean, a lot of people should be getting fired right now.
You've got something else going on. I don't know if you heard this morning. This came back to us, but I heard all day long yesterday as I took internet access on my flights. Congress, we're going to have an investigation. We don't care. We're not going to let the government investigate itself. The FBI cannot actively and appropriately investigate the Secret Service given what's happened. And I agree with that sentiment. But Mayorkas came out early this morning and says, nope. Cheadle is not going to appear at Congress. Like somehow Homeland Security has a right to tell Secret Service what to do and they can defy a subpoena. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro just was released from prison today. And why was he in prison? He was in prison because he wouldn't honor the J6 subpoena to Congress. because of client attorney of confidentiality that he had with Donald Trump. And they put him in prison for contempt of Congress. And now Bannon, same thing. Yet now they're saying, we don't have to do anything you tell us. We don't have to surrender tapes. The HER investigation that's been demanded of Merrick Garland, and the fact they found him in contempt of Congress, nothing's going to happen to him. And then you've got a situation, Doug, involving now the testimony of Cheadle. They can't let her go testify. The worst excuse I ever heard was the slope roof excuse, as you've just exposed. So they're doing, you know, here's what Mayorkas is saying. This is my take. We're going to kill Trump because we're going to continue this coup against the United States. We're going to take this country over, and Congress don't get in the way. That's how I took what Mayorkas did this morning.
So this is coming out from, and Mayorkas, you're garbage. I don't like you. You don't deserve the job and the title and the honor that that job has. And you are, I honestly feel, a danger to American citizens. As your former employee, that's what I think about you.
Great.
But I want to read what Dan Bongino is saying right now. Dan Bongino says an unimpeachable source tells him that someone was supposed to be on the roof where Thomas Crook shot, but didn't show up. Bongino also claimed that the Biden administration is telling the Secret Service director to keep her mouth shut if she wants to keep her job. Quote, according to my source, that roof was supposed to be a police post. There was supposed to be someone there. Quote, they're now making up excuses saying the pitch of the roof. My source says that no one knows why the post did not show up. So when he means post, all right, when you're talking about like a perimeter security, there, everywhere there's supposed to be a person with eyes, we call that a post. Post one, post two, post three, post four, all right? So you got your outer security, that's your outer perimeter, and then you have your concentric rings, and then you have your UCs, undercover guys who are mealing in and around the crowd. But if he didn't have that big of a detail, this is why they had to rely so much on local and state law enforcement and other field offices from other other agencies to fill these roles.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I mean, that's not good enough for me. Look, I'll give a hypothetical, okay? What if it was a Russian sniper? Let's just throw this weird, stupid idea out there.
We already know the answer to that.
What if it was an actual trained Russian sniper, Ukrainian sniper, Iranian, Palestinian sniper, and they had one shot, one time, one window, and no one showed up, and that dude slipped up on that roof, and he's in a not very much of a slope position, but he's laying at an incline, and he's resting. That means he's not holding the gun out and he's having to worry about his arms moving. He's laying down, he's resting. The gun's probably laying down on top of something. If it's an AR-15, most likely he's using the magazine to rest it on. And 150-yard shot, depending on the optic, AR-15, you can do it all day long. All it really comes down to there is breathing and trigger control. So the fact that Trump got hit in the ear and not in his right eye, that much of a gap, right? That is breathing and trigger control. I could take anyone shooting from 150 yards and you will see at a man-sized target, all right, from 150 yards to miss that much is actually not a bad shot. That's actually a pretty good shot from that distance. If it's a red dot only, if it's a low power scope that has an actual zoom to it and the reticle can zoom in, then you have a better chance of hitting the target if you've actually trained, if you're not scared. Think about the emotional dump that happens with people when they get into shootings, okay? This guy, if he's calm, cool, collective, he's very well trained. If he's calm, cool, and collective and takes that shot and he's not very well trained, then he's on some sort of narcotics. Most likely, he's on something that's calmed him down. Because your blood pressure is going to go up, your breathing is going to go up, and you've got to actually train for that. When we would go through Marine Corps marksmanship, let's I'll only talk about boot camp, right? When they teach you just from boot camp alone, you do what's called snapping in, and it's like 2 months worth of snapping in from first phase to second phase. And all you do is you just lay down on the ground and you just click. And you do that for months before you ever fire a freaking bullet. And we had guys who still miss and still fail. If this guy has no training and hits Trump on the first or second shot, especially if it's a second shot, a follow-up shot, that's even harder, right? Because you know you're going to get found. You know someone's going to kill you. You know you got a moving target. I mean, like, that's in my mind. Come on, guys, look at who the shooter is. He appears to be someone who has some sort of a mental handicap, possibly. He's not like the greatest in shape kind of guy. It looks like he doesn't have any training. Not saying he can't have training, not saying he can't have a lucky shot.
He was
But
he didn't make his
the
high
variables
school
don't
right,
match.
Doug, he didn't make his high school rifle team. This is Lee Oswald reincarnated here in terms of shooting ability. He was set up there to be the patsy. That's my belief. Let me tell you what I saw John Don Jr. say yesterday. Don Jr. was interviewed on Fox, and he said some damning things that I think the person interviewing wasn't bright enough to pick it out. He said, "We've had repeated discussions with the Secret Service about covering ranges out to 400, 500, 600 yards because he goes, the kind of guns that can be used can hit someone from that distance." And he said, "This shot came from 135 yards. What kind of job were they doing?" And he called for the direct firing of Cheadle on this. No one's taking this information and bringing it out. This was just sheer incompetence. Listen, I don't care if you're thinly sparse, you got to cover the perimeter. You got to cover the distance. And here's the other thing that I found out. There's supposed to be counter sniper teams, and I want you to comment on this because you know about this. Counter sniper teams for every conceivable and best opportunity to shoot the intended target. And yet they only had two counter sniper teams on that day.
So I was not in the Secret Service. I've never been on a presidential detail. I've known a lot of those guys who
But
worked
talk
those
about the Pope.
details. I was on the Pope's detail. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of us on that. But I mean, we were standing at the tops of buildings in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, when he came through. The Pope's detail when we were in El Paso. I mean, there was a man with a gun every 50 feet, right? And I just. Like I said, this is such a breakdown in the way federal law enforcement protective details should work. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. When Ronald Reagan was shot, within 2 seconds, he was gone. When Donald Trump is shot, we've got what, 30 seconds? And you allow him to stand up and do this and
My thought too.
you know, he gets shot, he gets on the ground, Secret Service crowds around him. That you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to throw your body over the principal. From there, one, two, three, everybody go, stand up. Now let's start moving. It's one, two, three, stand up, and let's just sit there. Like if the detail should have chunked him off that stage with them attached to him, but instead, like Trump's like, oh, I want to get my shoes, I want to get my shoes. He never stood up saying, praise the Lord Jesus Christ, I've repented and I'm saved. He said, I want to get my shoes. So when he raised, they're giving him time. Like if there's another shooter, all right, you just had so much time. Trump leans out of his freaking protective detail to do this and just sits there. A good shooter had so many open windows to hit him again. And the Secret Service detail should have known better. The CAT team that was attached to them, these are probably more senior guys. They would have more authority than just the standard agents that are around him because the CAT team is the direct counter assault team for the president. They should have been telling those guys, get him the hell in that car, the Tahoe, get him in there. Instead, everyone just kind of stood there, just like in a haze. Like, this is something we've never rehearsed before. We never went through scenarios and rehearsed what to do in this type of situation. That's bullshit. That's your whole job.
Yeah.
Your whole life is this one scenario, and you guys failed it. Not saying Cat Team failed. Cat Team did what they're supposed to do. They get up and they start looking. All those guys that were in the black coming out with the rifles, that's the Cat Team. Those guys will kill anyone and everyone that looks like they even have a gun on them at that point in time. So they didn't know where the shot was coming from. I don't know who was communicating with who. You also have a breakdown in communications. All right. The sniper's on the roof. Cat Team, you've got the Secret Service detail, and then you've got the, you know, concentric rings of perimeters of all the uniformed officers, the undercover guys. I don't know if they're all in the same comms. I don't know if they're all on the same channel. I don't think they would be, but that breakdown in communication, that hurt this entire thing. And let's talk about the real, you know, the real issue is that for what, 2 minutes? People were saying, there's a guy on the roof with a gun. Hey, officer.
Yeah.
There's a guy on the roof with a gun.
Yep.
Anyone in their right mind would have heard guy on roof gun. I'm verifying if that's one of ours. First thing, did one of you yahoos get up on a roof and you're not supposed to? You know, I'd start checking in. Whoever the team leader is for that area, that's your guys. There's one guy in charge of four or five guys, potentially. And then over here, there's one guy in charge of four or five guys. And that's how that security detail should be ran. So everyone should know who's the boss to immediately contact. And everyone should have started sweeping the buildings, sweeping the roofs. But instead, it's, lackadaisical, it's hot outside. I don't want to do anything. That's what it appears has happened, according to the witness testimony.
Now I hear you, but the other thing too is the idea of this one shooter. I saw this in print, quoted from the Washington Post. I think they've scrubbed it. I can't find it again, but I saw it with my own eyes. And this is like so much evidence that happens in these events. Lieutenant Colonel Bivens, the head of the State Patrol, said we're operating on the assumption there was more than one shooter. That's really close to a direct quote. And I'm so pissed off about why this isn't being expanded on. It's just like the Oklahoma City bombing. I remember, I don't need anyone to tell me. I heard it myself. We're looking for John Doe number one, a Caucasian male. John Doe number two, Middle Eastern male. And then on Channel 12 News in Phoenix, right after the bombing, they played a grainy barroom video that showed a Middle Eastern man meeting with McVeigh the night before the bombing. Okay, I saw this with my own eyes, and then it disappeared. And I talked to a lot of people in Phoenix that saw the same thing. And this crap just disappears. And what happened to Bivens' statement? Did you happen to come across that?
No.
Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes, and the Washington Post was the cited source. That just pisses me off about how these narratives keep changing. But the reality is this, and I'm going to throw a teaser in there because we don't really have time to develop that, this in this broadcast. But you got Cheadle, Cheney, Carlisle Group. Who controls them? The Atlantic Council. Who are they partnered with in Ukraine? The RAND Corporation, and then the entire military-industrial complex. The goal is war, war, and more war. And what didn't Trump do when he was serving for 4 years? He didn't start any wars, okay? And he didn't give them what they wanted. I believe if Trump had played ball with the military-industrial complex, he would have won in 2020. He wouldn't have been shot this weekend. And I'm developing these connections. And I'm telling you, people like Victoria Nuland are entering in. I don't know if you've seen Nuland's statement or not. I don't know if I have it readily available here. And I can pull it up directly. I might have it here. Hang on 1 second, Doug, while I try to access this. As a matter of fact, I do. Victoria Nuland. And if you don't know who she is, people, she was basically the mastermind for the 2014 overthrow of Ukraine's government that was a proxy government for Russia, okay? And it says right here, I don't think that Donald Trump is going to become president If that's what Putin is betting on, he's going to get a nasty surprise, I think. And then Harari from the World Economic Forum said this: if Trump becomes president again in 2024, it'll be the final death blow to the global order. You want to go back to the old world, and that is one of the reasons for Trump. And that was a Klaus Schwab statement there at the end. So you've got these statements going on, but Victoria Nuland's particularly interesting to me because she masterminded a lot of the 2014 crap where we tried to provoke Russia into a war under Obama. And then they transferred their efforts to Syria. I covered that in some detail. And here she's coming out right before the assassination saying, there is not, Donald Trump's not going to be your president. And Putin, no way. I mean, what are we supposed to think about all this, Doug?
Well, I mean, look at how long the media said that Trump and Trump followers and anyone who is within that idea of Trump followers, which would include you and I, Christians, they all considered us to be domestic terrorists. So they all broad
Sure.
stroke painted us. You have like this one clown, Rick Wilson, that was on MSNBC, and he said someone needs to put a bullet in Donald Trump. Jack Black, the famous actor and singer, recently, I'm actually kind of happy about this, but I think they were in New Zealand or someplace and they were putting on their concerts, some worldwide tour. And his bandmate, like this, the second most important guy of the Tenacious D band, Kyle Gass, he said something on stage. Jack Black said, hey, what do you think about whatever? And Cal Gas said, next time don't miss,
Yeah.
in reference to Trump. And so he fired him and canceled the entire thing. I'm actually pretty proud of that. I don't like these types of people, but I'm glad to see that there's enough integrity in that man to do the right thing at the right moment. But you have the calling for years, since 2016, to kill Donald Trump, from Snoop Dogg to all these other fools that are out there. And Biden saying he's going to take Trump behind the bleachers and kick his ass and all this stuff. It's you can see the setup for what happened when he got shot a mile away.
Yeah.
All right, you can see the security breakdown. You can't hide it no more. And I think if they can do it once, they can do it twice. I think that because right now Biden, because I know the Texas state troopers are protecting Biden while he's visiting Austin. And because of what happened with Trump, they sent everyone and their freaking uncle, who's still, state police here in Texas, to go and protect Biden this weekend or this week. I think it was Monday, actually. We have the RNC going on, which I would like to talk a little bit about the RNC. I haven't watched any of it, but I've seen a few things that are disturbing. But I know with the RNC, there's a lot of different elements of DHS that I was a part of, our SRT teams that's activated, that's out there. They've got the riot team from Miami-Dade, they're out there. They don't want this to happen again. But let me just ask you this hypothetical, and then let's talk about the RNC real quick. What if they try to kill Trump again? What then?
I think your initial statement a couple of years ago, Doug, is right on the money. They're going to do mass casualty event, and I'm surprised they tried the JFK playbook. I really am. I think your assessment was right on the money. If they try to institute JFK again, there's a statement there that we can do anything we want, and we don't care what you think, and we don't care what you can find out, because we're going to complete our job no matter what. It's like Mayorkas telling Congress, big middle finger to you, screw you. You're not touching Cheadle. Who is he to tell Congress what they can and can't do with their subpoena power?
Well, the Secret Service falls under DHS now.
Okay, but it doesn't
So
matter. Congress subpoenaed you. You got to
he's
go.
the head official, but he's the head official of DHS, and he can tell them to go pound sand because so can Merrick Garland, so can the DOJ, so can the FBI, so can the CIA, so can the Pentagon. The one thing that has truly been proven is Congress is a dog with no teeth. They're all bark. All right. So, I mean, this is what's scary. The checks and balances that's supposed to be set up for the way our government works does not work. There are no checks and balances. Instead, we
Right.
have out of control agencies that have small armies and means and capabilities of doing things that are extraordinarily dangerous to the well-being of American citizens.
Exactly. It's
And
the Gestapo, it's the SS.
there's no way to rein them in.
Yeah, here's my objection though, okay? This is why I say Congress does have the power. Peter Navarro goes to prison, J6. Bannon goes to prison, J6. Owen Schroyer goes to prison, J6. And he was telling people not even to go in the building. They put him in prison for what he said on his radio show. So when we look at that, Doug, it's rules for thee, but not for me. And that's why I said Congress has the authority. The precedent has been set. If you can send someone to
Well, hold
jail
on.
for a J6 subpoena, Congress can send them to jail for contempt of Congress.
I want you to think about the propaganda here. Let's talk about psychological operations and the use of propaganda. They need to paint a narrative and a picture for the American people to see that you have an out of control government that's targeting what America's president is, and all the majority of voters for America right now wants to vote for Donald Trump. So they're painting a narrative to piss people off to think, well, look, they put, Owen Schroyer in prison, put Navarro, can't remember his name. Bannon's going to go for a few months. This is all charades. Because they are most likely going to is a camp. It's going to be a low facility. If they actually go to a camp, they'll be the guys in the green jumpsuits. There's not even a fence around the prison. I used to
That's
work at these
not
things.
the case with
So
Bannon or Navarro, though. Doug, that didn't happen with Bannon. Bannon is in a medium security prison. In fact, he reported his first day, he was advised about how to avoid sexual assault. He is not in Club Fed.
And once again, why? Why? That's a nonviolent crime. And we had congressmen that were in our prison from a lot of the shady stuff that happened during Hurricane Katrina and Rita. We had members of state, we had members of city councils that were in our prisons, and they were all in the low facility or they were in the camp. So why they would put them there? Me personally, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, according to my government, I think the goal here is to paint a narrative for people to think that you don't have a choice. The government is completely corrupt, which both of those are true. And then they're going to take away what you believe is your only hope and savior once they take Donald Trump out. And they want people to revolt. They want
I
January
agree with that.
6 again.
I agree
They
with that.
want January 6 again, but they want it kinetic this time. And they think they know how to pull on your heartstrings because they believe that we're stupid. They believe that we're hyper-violent. They don't think that we know the game that's being played. And they want to do everything possible to get at least enough idiots with their guns to shoot at the government for the government to cry foul. And then they start pulling all the exigency levers, the martial laws, the Kigali principles. And
Stop right
look,
there,
the.
Kigali, Kigali. 10,000 Chinese crossing our border every month. That's
A
an
day almost.
occupation force. And they're four of the last five defense ministers of China have said genocide for Americans. They have said it openly. It's in their meetings, it's in their notes, it's their propaganda. Doug, they want to provoke us to civil war. I totally agree with you. This is why they can be sloppy. This is why Merrick Garland can give the middle finger to Congress. They want no accountability, no justice, where America throws their hands up and says, okay, you killed Trump, now we're going to kill you. And
Well, and you hear
what they
all that,
want.
you hear a lot of rhetoric from the MAGA movement, the Reawakening America movement, a lot of other movements that is calling for violence. And this is what they do. They always do the same thing. They bring up the stuff that the founding fathers said. right? And they try to use a lot of these incendiary comments. The Tree of Liberty has to be watered with the blood of tyrants. Our ancestors would have been shooting by now, right? We revolted for less than this. And you've got enough dumb people in America to take that hook and swallow it completely and go out and do something foolish. And this is the use of propaganda. This was used in Nazi Germany to the point that we see what happened with Nazi Germany. They didn't have social media. They didn't have MK Ultra. They didn't have the Mockingbird. All they had was shortwave radio and propaganda.
But they had
And they
movie
got an
theater.
entire
Hold on a
nation.
second. They had movie theater newsreels where they played 5 minute propaganda clips before they'd show a movie. That part I know because I got that from my German ancestors.
That's it. They had only the basic limited amount. Do you know that our CIA learned how to do propaganda because of the Nazis?
Yes.
And gee, not too long after that, we've got MK Ultra, thanks to the Nazi scientists we brought over here because of Project Paperclip. We've got the Mockingbird Project, thanks to the Nazi leaders that we brought over here because of Paperclip. What they're proving to us is that if they can do it once, they can do it again. Treaty of Versailles, people were pissed in Germany. You had 30 to 40,000 men who didn't have jobs. People were on the breadlines. People were losing faith. They were losing hope. And then, bam! Here's the guy that's going to fix everything. Look, we're gonna redo the economy. I even have verbatim of Adolf Hitler saying we're going to reawaken Germany. They're using the same language, okay? And if you're an actual student of history and propaganda of psychological warfare, you're seeing the same things being done over and over
Yeah.
again to a populace who say, look, our government really is evil. Our government really is out of control. We really are taxed to the gills. We are losing our rights. They are attacking our God every chance that they get. This is an anti-Christ government. Most of the people in it, for whatever reason, go right along with it. Okay, we've got so many people right now are like, well, I'm just doing my job. You're not thinking freely and you've got a gun and a badge. Man, that's terrifying. Where'd I hear that before? And we are like one concentration camp away from America looking completely different. I would not be surprised if Donald Trump gets elected and the pendulum swings so far from the left where we had trannies in the White House and Hunter can do blow on the White House freaking couch. So it swings all the way back to the right, and we've got Judge Dredd executing people on the street, taking away the Second Amendment for people, taking away the First Amendment for
I don't see
people.
it going that far, but I do agree there's a counter reaction coming. I totally agree. I want to throw something at you. You brought up something
It's not
here.
crazy.
I've been doing some research you brought up the Nazis, and we have 100 to 200,000 terrorists. Multiple Border Patrol people have told me this. Some of them were at the Take Our Border Back event that I spoke at. Two of them I've known for over 10 years. But Doug, here's what I've found on research I've done. Hitler was obsessed with the Middle East and certain aspects of the Middle East. And he made contact with a guy named Al-Husseini who hated the Jews. And up until that time, the Jews and the Palestinians lived in tolerance. They didn't like each other, but they lived pretty much in tolerance as compared to today. And Al-Husseini was building a coalition to start going after the Jews. And that's why Hitler and Al-Husseini met. He was brought to Berlin, met with Hitler, and he went back and he started building the Muslim Brotherhood, of which Obama's half brother is part of today, the head of arms procurement, and also keeps their records. Now, what goes further was Al-Husseini partnered with Skorzeny. And Skorzeny created something called the Werewolves, which were a terrorist group for the Nazis that terrorized American soldiers at the conclusion of World War II with the occupation force. And then they took it into the Middle East. And this is something I was shocked when I learned. When Skorzeny took this movement into the Middle East to start actual terrorism in the Middle East with groups that we know like Hamas was number one, Hezbollah, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Skorzeny also introduced Mein Kampf. And at that time in the 50s, that was the number one best-selling book in the Middle East was Mein Kampf. And then from there, we go forward to all the terrorist groups we have today. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Doug is right in what he just said about the Nazi influence in America, but it actually comes out of Middle East terrorism too. Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, they were all part of these trainees. Well, what's interesting to me now is I got Border Patrol telling me 100 to 200,000 of these terrorists are in America right now. Doug, what we're going to see, I think, is indiscriminate firing on American citizens at large events like concerts and athletic events, indiscriminate bombings. This is what I think is coming if the left doesn't think they can win the election. This is why I think they're here. I think grid down, too. You've talked about grid down. I think you're absolutely right about the grid down scenario.
We've got what's estimated to be 50 million illegals in this country.
That's it, right.
And we truly have no idea who any of them are, what their scope and capabilities and intentions are. So the possibility is there. Even if 2 million of 50 million were armed, that outnumbers all police in America. So, I mean, and it doesn't take much to overwhelm a city. It doesn't take much to overwhelm a county. Our special operations guys, like our tier one guys that are in CAG, sometimes known Delta, and then you have groups like Spetsnaz. These small unit groups are designed to bring down empires from the inside with
That's
their
right.
capabilities. A lot of these guys, they speak multiple languages, they have master's degrees, they know, about accounting, they know about engineering, they know about structural damage and weakening. They know how to infiltrate into a city where the power supply is, kill the power supply. That's their first goal. All right. It's not to do like a Mumbai, India, where they just go indiscriminately into the mall and start shooting people, and you have phase lines of teams doing that. That's an Antifa thing. That's an Al-Qaeda thing. But what I'm talking about is the guys that we should actually be worried about are the ones who are so well trained. You'd smile and say hi, and they'd say hi right back to you. You'd never know it. Those are the guys that thankfully are also on our side, which I think is it's going to be an interesting thing one day to see whose side the military joins. Because I don't want to say they're 50-50, but I know for what you and I, a large that does not like what's going on line with America, that is a threat to the elite that has to be contested. And you know, contest that, overwhelm it with numbers. Those people are already here. Biden let them in.
Yeah, I hear you. I think you were frozen in time there just for a second, but I think your assessment is right on the money. It is the small teams, and this is where a grid down scenario will come from. Years and years ago, John Moore, former Green Beret, told me a team of eight Spetsnaz could take down the city the size of Phoenix with its grid, and there's only eight people that would be involved. And so you're absolutely right on. I've heard this multiple times from experts in the field. And I do think this is what's coming. But Doug, I also believe too, these Chinese are being brought here for the Kigali Principles installation, because when we rebel, the UN will come and help the left. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Or the right. It does not matter. We're talking about the
Okay,
same
all right.
people.
Let me ask you this. If
The
Trump
establishment.
is elected, Trump will roll a lot of this stuff back. And we'll buy some time. I didn't say we'll win. I said we'll buy some time. If the left wins, I think we're going to see concentration camps next year. I was in the middle of doing a concentration camp series when the assassination attempt happened. And I was developing the idea, said, this is what's in writing, folks. This is what the government says they can do to you. And look at the pandemic stuff. And I said, they could do medical martial law and start putting people in camps. And I said, and they've given themselves permission to do all of this. And I wasn't, and I said, I look for the left to do this to their political enemies. And Doug, think about this. September 1st, 2022, Biden declared over half the country, if you're MAGA, you're a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
The
That's
battle
what I'm saying.
lines
You
have been
can't.
drawn, people. The battle lines have been
You as
drawn.
a citizen can't say that about the government.
No.
Well, the government come and talking to you about it, but the government can say that. Where's the checks and balances? This is propaganda. Let me read something. I just want to read three sentences. That's it. Okay. So this is a book I showed it the other day on one of our live streams. I'm gonna be reading from it again today. But this is just about three preachers, and I'm a preacher. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm unashamed of it. And so my wife got me this book. God bless her. It's called Preaching in Hitler's Shadow. The first two pages of this book, I almost can't get over the first two pages. Okay, now I'm going to read you one of the reasons why. On page five, it says, in yet another speech, one the Nazi newspaper, the People's Observer, referred to as the quote, quoting Adolf Hitler, the pronouncement of the gospel of a reawakened Germany. A prayerful Adolf Hitler ended with these pious words, Lord God, never let us become shaky and cowardly. Let us never forget the duty we have taken on. Here again, we hear a reference to a God of combat and weaklings who might become shaky and cowardly, propaganda. These are not the words of the Sermon on the Mount, but of a warlike German myth. All right, so I'll read the rest of this book later. Just right there, I want to say a few things, okay? I want to burst some people's bubbles, and I want to make a lot of people really
Hey,
upset with
Doug,
me.
and we got
It's
3 minutes
fine.
left. We got 3 minutes left.
Okay. All right. Do not believe the propaganda that you are being fed. Understand your history. Understand, for one thing, Operation Mockingbird, but understand that the goal here is to make you think you have only two choices, and that one of those choices is all about God because he talks about God all the time, but I've never heard him say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior openly, and not one freaking Christian is ashamed to say that. Know them by their fruits. Judge them by their fruits. Adolf Hitler said that he dedicated America, or excuse America, he dedicated Germany to God for 8 weeks straight before they started coming after people. So if Adolf Hitler can lie to you, so can Trump. If Trump's a Christian, so is Obama, so is Hillary Clinton, so is Joe Biden, so is James Comey. They all say that there's the same thing. They all say they're Christian. Understand that the enemy will capture the ideas that you want as a free and independent nation, and they'll put their people in the place and make you think you have no other options except for these guys. You do have an option. His name is Jesus. Train and pray.
No, I think you said that very, very well. I want to see repentance and revival come out of this
Absolutely.
Trump movement. Now, there's a momentum now in the Republican Party that's undeniable. In fact, it's funny, Newsweek came out today and said Trump's chances for winning the election are less. Maybe if you kill him, yeah, it is less. But the movement is undeniable. But I need to hear the words Jesus. I totally agree with you. The one reason that I am giving some support here to the RNC is because, Doug, they'll buy us time to start the revival. That's what I'm looking at here. And listen, God uses people that we wouldn't ordinarily identify in the Bible as great Christians. He's taken unsavory people and put them in positions of prominence. And I'm hopeful and I pray that that's what's happening here. I do agree. I do not see a Jesus Christ Christian coming out of the Trump rhetoric. I totally agree with that. But I'm hopeful that God
No,
will
it was.
use him in a way where that'll end up happening. But nonetheless, Doug, we're going to be persecuted for being Christians, and it's going to happen after this election if things stay the same.
The
We
thing
need
that I worry
help.
about, because what Trump has surrounded himself with is NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation Church, which is completely New Age mixed with Hinduism, universalism. Some of their own leaders have said that Jesus is one of the four ascended masters. And these are people who are saying Jesus and God in the same sentence and
I
saying
hear
ascended
you.
master.
It's
All right.
blasphemy. It's blasphemy. But
do
Doug,
not
we need
eat
to
wine.
have, you know, we don't have time to do this now because we're out of time, but I want to know the people in the Trump inner circle who are supporting this. This is
Oh,
something
I got
that's,
it.
well, okay, we need to look at this in a future show because I'll support
Okay.
nothing that's Chrislam, where religions are blended to weaken the impact of the word of Jesus, and I am not going to support that. But I think that we need to really go on firm ground and support those positions. But I still pray that God uses this movement for his purpose. That's what I pray for. We don't
I
live in a
pray for
vacuum,
Donald
Doug.
Trump's.
Doug, we don't live in a vacuum, though. That's the problem.
I pray for Donald Trump's salvation. That's what I pray for. I pray
Okay.
that it Donald Trump's salvation and that he becomes a wise man who seeks after the wisdom and discernment of God and that he rules, judge righteously. That's all I can ask for. From
That's
there,
why
it's God's
we're
will be
saying the same
done.
thing. You and I are saying exactly the same thing there. Thanks for coming on and sharing here. I think your experience is invaluable. I'm Dave Hodges, my partner Doug Thornton, the American Vindictus Show, the commonsenseshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real critical times, and I'm telling you, Doug said it right. Train, prep, and most of all, pray. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks, Doug.